In this session, we shall continue the theme of foreign aspects of capital gains tax by looking at one or two special rules. We will start by looking at Section 10 of TCGA 1992. The normal rule in Section 2 is that to be chargeable to UK capital gains tax, a person must be resident or ordinarily resident in the UK. Section 10 is an exception to this general rule and one of the very few instances when a non-resident person will be taxed on a capital gain. Section 10 applies to a non-resident person who is trading in the UK through something called a branch or agency. In general terms, a branch or agency simply means that a non-resident person has some sort of trading outlet in the UK or a medium through which to receive UK trading income. Section 10 applies if the non-resident person sells a UK asset which has been used for the purposes of his business. Assets used in the business will typically be land and buildings, or perhaps goodwill or plant and machinery. Therefore, gains made on sales of shares will never be caught under Section 10, because shares can never be used for the purpose of a business. If this is the case, the gain made by the non-resident person on the sale of the UK asset will be immediately chargeable. This is despite the fact that the person making the gain is not resident in the UK. Section 10 talks about a person making the gain, and in this context, a person could mean a non-resident individual or a non-resident trust. Section 10B is a similar provision, relating to a non-resident company with a permanent establishment in the UK. Permanent establishment is defined in the same way as for corporation tax, but is basically the same as a branch or agency. Remember, if a company makes a capital gain, that gain will be chargeable to UK corporation tax and not chargeable to UK capital gains tax. There are a couple of anti-avoidance rules to be aware of with regard to Section 10. Without the anti-avoidance rules, it would be possible for a person to avoid a Section 10 charge by closing down the trade before selling the UK asset. Remember that Section 10 only applies to assets used in the trade. So if there is no trade, there is no Section 10 charge. The Revenue have countered this by saying that when a non-resident person ceases his UK trade, he is deemed to have sold all of his assets at their market value immediately before cessation. This will create a capital gain, and those gains will be charged under Section 10. Similarly, it could be possible to avoid a charge by exporting the asset before selling it. Again, there is some anti-avoidance legislation which says that if an asset is transferred abroad, it is deemed to have been sold by the non-resident person at its market value at the date it is removed from the UK. Finally here, we should consider whether it is possible to defer a Section 10 gain by using rollover relief. For example, if a non-resident person sells a UK asset used in his trade and replaces it with another asset, can he claim rollover relief to defer the first capital gain? The answer to this question is yes, but only if the new asset, i.e. the replacement asset, is also within the charge to tax under Section 10. The Revenue will therefore allow rollover relief only if the replacement asset is also situated in the UK and is being used for the purposes of the trade. Next, let us move on and have a look at Section 13 of TCGA 1992. Here we have an individual who is resident in the UK. The individual owns shares in a foreign company. This company would be a close company if it were a UK resident. For those of you who have studied the corporation tax module, you'll recall that a close company is any company which is controlled by 5 or fewer shareholders. Here, if we assume that the UK taxpayer owns all of the shares, the company would be close. The foreign company sells an asset and makes a capital gain. As this is a gain made by a non-resident person, i.e. a foreign company, the gain cannot be charged in the hands of the company. The only way the foreign company will have a UK corporation tax liability on this gain is if the gain is caught by Section 10. That is, the non-resident company is trading in the UK and is selling a UK asset being used in its trade. Therefore, assuming this is not the case, the capital gain made by the foreign company is outside the scope of UK tax. As there could be scope for a UK taxpayer avoiding capital gains tax by holding his personal assets within a foreign company, the Revenue introduced Section 13. Section 13 takes the gains made by the company and apportions them back to UK shareholders in proportion to their shareholding in the foreign company. Therefore, if the UK shareholder has 100% of the shares in the foreign company, he will have 100% of the capital gain apportioned back to him and charged on him in the UK. No apportionment is made if a shareholder has 10% or less of the shares in the company. Let us illustrate this by way of an example. Here we have two taxpayers called Charlie and Dennis, both of whom are resident in the UK. Between them, they own the shares of a foreign company called Jersey Co. Limited. Charlie has 95% of the shares, and Dennis has 5% of the shares. Jersey Co. Limited sells some shares in March 2011, making a capital gain of £100,000. This gain will not be charged to UK corporation tax, as Jersey Co. Limited is a non-resident person. However, Section 13 will apply, as we have gains accruing to a non-resident company which is controlled by five or fewer shareholders who are resident and domiciled in the UK. The gain of £100,000 will therefore be apportioned back to Charlie and Dennis in accordance with their interest in the company. Charlie will have 95% of this gain treated as accruing to him, and this will be included in his tax return for 2010-11. However, as Dennis does not have more than 10% of the shares of Jersey Co. Limited, none of the gains are treated as accruing to him under Section 13. This assumes that Charlie and Dennis are not associated with each other. In order to determine whether a shareholder has a 10% holding, we aggregate his shares with those of his associates. Here the term associates will include spouses, ancestors, and siblings. Having apportioned the gains to UK shareholders, these gains will be chargeable to UK capital gains tax and not UK corporation tax. However, because the gain was originally made by a company, to calculate the capital gain we use the company rules, which means we can deduct indexation allowance calculated for the period from the date of acquisition to the date of disposal. If the individual who has a gain attributed to them is not domiciled in the UK, and the gain is in respect of a non-UK asset, the remittance basis can apply to the attributed gain. There are one or two other points to pick up on with regard to Section 13. If the foreign company distributes the capital profit, either by way of a dividend or a capital distribution, within 3 years of the accounting period in which the gain arises, any tax paid by the shareholders under Section 13 can be credited against any tax due on the dividend. A dividend paid by a foreign company to a UK shareholder is taxed as foreign income. So without this rule, the shareholder could effectively pay both income tax and capital gains tax on the same capital profit. If the CGT paid under Section 13 exceeds the income tax due on the dividend, there is no tax repayment. Remember that this only applies if the company distributes the profits within 3 years. If the distribution is outside the 3-year period, any dividends are taxable in the normal way without any credit for tax paid under Section 13. If the foreign company makes capital losses, these losses can be apportioned back to the UK shareholders in the same way that gains are apportioned. However, such losses can only be used against Section 13 gains arising in the same tax year. There is no provision for any carry forward of unused Section 13 losses. Finally, when the UK shareholders eventually sell their shares in the foreign company, they will make a UK capital gain. Any capital gains tax paid by UK shareholders under Section 13 and not credited against any other liability can be treated as an allowable cost when calculating the gain on the sale of the shares in the foreign company. Note that the Section 13 tax is allowed as a deduction in calculating the gain and is not a tax credit in itself.